The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Very busy news afternoon once again. If you can hear the smile in my voice, I'm feeling pretty good today. The Christmas lights went up on the Monson house yesterday. Too early? No. I don't know if I'm going to turn them on till Thanksgiving, but the lights are up. I'm so happy about that. Hey, a couple of things. This is Veterans Day for all of the veterans and active military who are listening, and I know that we have an awful lot of you as part of our listening audience. I want to say, on behalf of me, my family, my listeners, thank you. Thank you to those who serve. It is the most selfless of acts. I've often said that there was a time when much of our politics was occupied by military veterans. Many of our presidents were military veterans. I think our nation was in much better shape when we had military veterans in public service, because I think that politics right now today is one of the most selfish of endeavors. It is all about power. And the way you get power is by getting money. And the way you get money is by controlling people. And as a result, I think that politicians over time inevitably become, they lose a part of their soul, because their entire life, if you're in Congress, 2-year term, the day you are elected to Congress is the day you have to start fundraising for 2 years from now. And so I do think there is so much selfishness in politics. I think that politics erodes the souls of most of the lifers. I didn't used to be in favor of term limits. I am now, because I just don't think very many people can escape what it does to individuals. But there are few people more selfless than our veterans. They certainly don't go into the military for the money. You all know that. They don't go in for any personal fame. In fact, you sacrifice individuality to be part of this team. And there is selflessness. The people who are motivated to give a chunk of their life to serving this country in the military, most of them are very pure of motive, and I wish more of them would go into politics today, because I think it would just shred many of the problems that we face at both ends of the political spectrum if we had people who are more selfless. So, on this Veterans Day, thank you to our veterans, to our active military. God bless you for what you have done and what you continue to do. We are very, very thankful for your service. All right, before I get into the big lead, I've been neglecting to mention this. We have a major presence. We've stepped this up to have our show content on MyNorthwest.com. And we're turning around more and more and more of our show content in a huge way the last couple of weeks. And I just wanted to make sure our listeners knew about that. So if you ever miss things that we talk about on the show, go check out MyNorthwest.com, because we are more than ever before turning around our show content there. And it's really great. And I would love for you to check that out. All right. With all of that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Seattle is once again a worldwide laughingstock today. If you go to the Daily Mail, which is one of the most international, largest red news sites, their number two story right now is Seattle crime. And the headline, a King County worker sent me this last night. The headline is, crime-ravaged Seattle is now so dangerous it can no longer protect its own workers. Security guards are hired to walk county staffers to station or ferry, but you're on your own if you work in the private sector. So King County has just announced that things have gotten so dangerous, so violent, so hostile, around the King County Courthouse that they are arranging for security guards to walk employees to the King Street station several blocks south or west to the ferry dock. And they have set times. They call it a walking bus, where there will be two security guards escorting King County employees because there have been so many shootings, murders, rapes, assaults right around the King County Courthouse. Now, of course, what they should do is clean it up. They have a homeless encampment that's been on the plaza right outside of the courthouse and City Hall Park and all of that for years now. It just keeps more and more violent. They're throwing their feces at people walking by, trying to dump urine on people trying to walk to their office. And the real life solution would be, let's clean it up. But no, 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 no. This is Seattle. We are progressive. So we're going to just let the crime, the murders, the rapes, the assaults, we'll just let them go on. But if you work for the government, we'll provide you a security escort so you can get to the King Street station or the ferry dock. Now, if you're in the private sector, screw you. You don't get anything. You can be subjected to all the violence. But the government's going to take care of the government workers. Private sector, not so much. It is. It's an absolute joke. And as they talk about in the Daily Mail, a 35% increase in shootings in Seattle, much higher than most of the other major cities in the country. That have, almost every major city has seen shootings and murders go up, but few have gone up as fast as Seattle. And it's because we tolerate so much crime and drug use. I remember when Dan Satterberg announced that he was legalizing drugs, and I had him on my show. And I thought it was crazy then. I've been proven 100% correct. And I asked him how in the world he can legalize drugs in King County, including heroin and meth. And he said, well, what we've been doing wasn't working. So what we are doing now has made things 100 times worse. And nobody seems to want to acknowledge that that is the underlying reason for the crime and the homelessness and the violence and the shootings. It is drugs. Shootings are up in Chicago 10% this year, 18% in Atlanta, 22% in Los Angeles. In Seattle, shootings are up 35%. Why this is tolerated, I have no idea. And then Seattle City Council 2 nights ago proposes a budget that includes another $10 million in cuts to the Seattle Police Department. Carmen Best, she's a finalist for New York City Police Chief. She resigned last year. She told Fox News about what's going on here in Seattle.
Arbitrarily, just out of nowhere, there was a suggestion that they cut my salary. And while I didn't like that suggestion, that's not the reason I ultimately left. It was I just couldn't stay there in an organization where they were going to strip so many officers of their jobs. And of course, all the things that you mentioned, the rise in crime and the things that have occurred subsequent to that, were totally predictable and foreseeable.
Absolutely. Created, intentionally created by our politicians and our prosecutors who have decided to make this the crime magnet. Oh, and by the way, I was going to comment on a story I heard in Aaron's newscast about Attorney General Bob Ferguson going after the pharmaceutical companies for opioids. What a stinking hypocrite. Why don't you go after Joe Biden for leaving the southern border completely wide open? Because I've talked to the DEA, I've talked to Border Patrol, I've talked to ICE. The reason so many people are dying from opioids is because the Mexican cartels are shipping drugs across a completely wide open Joe Biden border. They lace many of those drugs with fentanyl, which is killing people here. Jay Inslee has made Washington a sanctuary state, so it's easier than ever for people who sneak into this country illegally with drugs to come right up the I-5 corridor and to offload them in King County, the most drug-friendly county in the nation. Hey, Bob Ferguson, you want to go after pharmaceutical companies? I don't have any love for them, although you seem to love them when it comes to vaccines. But why don't you go after Joe Biden? You filed a million lawsuits against the Trump administration. Why don't you file a lawsuit against the Biden administration for leaving the southern border wide open and allowing drugs to come right up to King County, where they are killing hundreds of people? Oh, that's right. Bob Ferguson doesn't care about people or death. He cares about politics. He would never go after the Biden administration, like the million lawsuits, even though the Biden administration is killing people here in Washington state with the fentanyl-laced drugs that are coming across the border. If Bob Ferguson really wanted to be taken serious, he's such a joke. He is such a joke. He doesn't care about opioids or death. Sue the Biden administration, Bob. That would actually accomplish something. Also, speaking of the crime around here, I was talking to a friend 2 days ago in Chicago, and he said, you know, Chicago is a really, he just moved there a couple years ago. He said, it's a beautiful city, and he said, you hear about all the murders in Chicago, but he said, I feel way safer in Chicago than in Seattle. This guy used to work with here, and he works in Chicago now, and he said he feels much safer in Chicago than in Seattle, because all of the crime in Chicago is concentrated in one part of the city where the gangs control the streets. In Seattle, it's everywhere. It's in the Rainier Valley. It's in the Central District. It's in Lake City. It's in Magnolia. It's in Ballard. In fact, Ballard, three more businesses in Ballard got hit by robbers and vandals. Tommy Patrick of the Ballard Cut, he told Channel 4, ComoNews.com, that this is just becoming a regular thing for them.
We've been open for about 16 months now. I guess we've been broken into about like six, maybe seven times now. This is the most serious of them.
Open for 16 months and they've been hit seven times. You can't survive on that, because if you go to your insurance companies, they'll either jack up your rates or they'll cancel you. And a small business, their margins are too thin. They can't survive being hit seven times in 16 months. There was a Zoom meeting that included Seattle Councilman Dan Strauss, the useless Seattle City Councilman who is supposed to represent Ballard, but has just let Ballard go straight down the toilet. And Dan Strauss, they only answered email-submitted questions at the end of a three-hour meeting. Most people couldn't sit through the whole thing because they were talking about how they want to defund the police by another $10 million. But Dan Strauss actually said this. You look at Ballard Commons, another huge fire broke out just last night in a tent at Ballard Commons. The children's splash park was closed in the 100-degree heat of last summer because there were too many drug addict criminals in the park. We've spent tens of millions of dollars on just that one park. It's been taken over by drug-addicted criminals. But, oh, Dan Strauss has a plan.
Behavioral health and community safety, it's really important that we're able to not only meet people in crisis that we're going to be talking about, the mobile crisis team, but then we're able to ensure that they're stabilized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll just toss. Ooh, I'll just shake the woke word dice, see what comes out, and watch the problem get worse and worse and worse. Everybody who works and lives in Ballard tells me that Dan Strauss is the most useless city councilman they've ever seen. And then you have Mark Dones. Mark Dones is a young man who's in charge of the King County Homelessness, Regional Homelessness Authority. I've seen conflicting reports. One news report said his salary is $130,000 a year. Publicola said his salary is $250,000 a year. But here's what we know about Mark Dones. I told you about this guy when he got hired. He's a radical anti-police communist. Self-avowed communist. He tweets about it all the time. Or at least he did before he got this big fat Seattle homelessness job. But he admits quite readily how he thinks communism is far superior to what we have now. This is one thing he tweeted last year. Every time I see this about capitalism, I think it's incredibly funny that people think that socialism, communism means no one having nice things instead of everyone has access to nice things. So that's our new homelessness czar. a communist who makes well into the six figures. And he explained, he talked to Channel 4 at this council meeting. He explained why a lot of homeless, tent living drug addicts, why they don't seek shelter themselves.
For folks who are living in vehicles, we offer them shelter, but that shelter does not have a place for them to park their car.
Oh! The shelters don't have car parking spaces. So that's why homeless people won't access city services. We've got to provide them car parking when they go into taxpayer-provided housing. And if we don't do that, then they probably won't go in. Do you think this guy, you think the communist who makes six figures, you think he really wants to solve homelessness? Because then his job ends. And this is what I've been telling you about the homelessness industrial complex. The people in charge are making well into the six figures. Some of them are making $250,000 a year. They don't want to solve the problem. They want the problem to continue so they can have a job for life. Pretty good communist gig. Oh, and one other thing about this guy. I was checking his Twitter account just yesterday. He posted, "Just ordered delivery lunch to my office as a flimsy pretense for what I actually wanted, but was too ashamed to order alone. Multiple iced coffees." Hmm. What kind of communist are you? Getting multiple iced coffees delivered to you for lunch? I'm not even sure if he's a real communist at this point. And all that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Could somebody please get our communist homelessness czar some iced coffee? He's too embarrassed to go and get them himself. Unbelievable. I've been talking to one of those Ballard business owners who was hit a couple of nights ago. I've had him on a couple times before. This is becoming a regular thing in this city. We'll talk to him coming up next, and then we've got lots of other stuff straight ahead as we get rolling here on a stormy Thursday. Veterans Day, Dory Monson Show. As we told you in the big lead, crime is so bad, crime and violence in Seattle, that King County now has to have security guards walk employees from the county building downtown to King Street Station or to the ferry dock because they are just routinely getting violently accosted. And all around the city, this is violence and just mindlessness. Just vandalism is happening. I've talked to this guy a couple of times before, Matthew Humphrey. He's the owner of Steel Barber in Ballard. They got hit again a couple of days ago, and Matthew joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Matt, I'm sorry we keep talking under these circumstances.
Ah, me too, Dory. It's getting kind of old. I'd much rather talk to you because of some other great reason.
Yeah. Well, we'll come up with another great reason one day. But tell me what's going on. Are things getting any better? Or are they just getting worse now?
No, it's gotten progressively worse. We're finding in the last couple months since the weather's changed, we've had more issues with, you know, the drug addicted, mentally ill campers all around us, coming in, harassing my team. We've had more break-ins up the street in this last month. I did a quick count on Facebook, and there's at least 17 other businesses all within a couple block radius of me that have been either vandalized or broken into. So it's just getting worse before it gets better.
Well, or if it gets better, that's the thing. You know, we have a lot of people, new mayor, a couple new council people, and they're giving us lip service that they're going to make things better, but I'm not sure if they are. I just have no idea. So I know owning a business, I've owned a small business, and it's tough even under the best of circumstances. And you're expected to be the tax collector for the government. You're the job provider. You're the one who provide the revenues for all these people running the city. And as I said, it's tough enough in the best of times. How do you both financially and emotionally handle it when you don't know what you're going to see when you show up at your shop in the morning?
That's a great question, Dorian. On the emotional side, I don't know how to answer that one. I kind of, you know, have this unrealistic, in my mind, fear when the phone rings, and I should be more worried about my daughter off in college than I am about my business getting broken into.
Yeah.
But that's just the reality I face. I mean, look, we have what I consider the best street in the whole city with restaurants and retail. It looks like a movie set. It's this amazing place. And we built out this amazing shop. And, you know, by all rights, I keep adding to the payroll and hiring more people and paying in the tax base. And what's really unfortunate is I'm not getting the basic security that I'd expect in a city like this. And, you know, they've taken so much away, but they haven't replaced it with anything else. So we've been working closely with the Ballard Alliance on coming up with our own security plan and our own security guards, because I just can't, to your point, take the emotional toll, much less bear the financial burden of the continual crime that's happening.
Yeah, and I'll get back to that in just a moment. But you're on Ballard Avenue, right? That's the street that you said is now like a movie set. Yeah. When I was a kid growing up in Ballard, Matthew, Ballard Avenue had the dumpiest dive bars. There's a place I would stop at 8 o'clock every morning called the Vasa Sea Grill, because they carried the racing form. I was a little degenerate myself when I was 17. But I'd stop at 8 in the morning to get the racing form there, and there would be the same guys on the bar stools, all just drunk as can be, at 8 a.m. And it strikes me now that was considered, you know, degenerate dive, the outlier in Ballard. Now it's the mainstream. Except these people are out in the streets doing the same thing, and they're stealing from people like you so that they can feed drug habits. And it's just amazing to watch kind of this full circle evolution from a dump that Ballard Avenue was when I was a kid to this amazing retail and service street. And now it's just a place that's getting hit all too often by crime again. It's really gone kind of full circle.
Yeah, and it's a bunch of small business owners like me for the most part. There's a few national tenants on either end of the street, but you've got local restaurateurs, you know, colorful bars like you just mentioned, which I think make it the most authentically cool street on the West Coast. And it's unbelievable. You know, looking at my neighbors, the Tractor Tavern, the Ballard Cut, they just got hit the same morning. And then the Thai restaurant around the corner, whose name eludes me. But these are all, you know, great people, great businesses, and we all have to, you know, shoulder this burden. And I think I told you last time this happened, you know, I used my insurance to pay for the glass door and the theft, and they promptly canceled me. So now I'm reluctant to even use my insurance to pay for this door, which is going to end up costing me about $4,000. So I really have nowhere to turn other than my shrinking bottom line. Yeah. From COVID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And is it true that you can't even replace the glass for weeks and weeks and weeks because this is happening so often, the glass shops can't even keep up with it?
Yeah. Our guy's quoting us 3 weeks, which really means 4 to 5.
Okay.
So, you know, and that's the challenge. At the crucial part of retail, you know, over Thanksgiving and beyond, we're going to look like we're, you know, closed for business. And that's not the case.
So where are you headed, Matt? I mean, I know you love what you do. I know you love where you do it. If the politicians could just clean up the streets. But, I mean, you talk about your shrinking bottom line, and I don't know too many businesses that can afford random, you know, $4,000 expenses for just nonsense like vandalism and theft the way you guys have to absorb this. So what's the end game here?
Yeah, also a good question, Dory. My big thing is just trying to stand up and speak up. I think a lot of small business owners are afraid to speak up for concern that it sounds political, but there's no politics when you talk about security. It's a basic expectation. I pay premium rent to be on a street. I employ people at a premium cost to give them a living wage. And, you know, the basic expectation is you got to help us stay secure. So as I look to expand and I hear the politicians talking about, you know, defunding more of the security in the city, which right now is the police, I can't imagine opening another door. And my brand's doing well other than this. And that's the challenge is, You know, we've gotten national and international recognition. And then when I look to expand in cool areas like Ballard, you know, let's say I wanted to go to Pioneer Square. There's no way, no way until they can get this situated. So as I expand, you know, sadly, I'm going to have to go out of state or to another place. And I, like I said, I live in Seattle. My family's here. It's the last thing I want to do is have to go outside of the state because we can't get our politics straight.
No. Well, that's the choice our politicians face. And I think a lot of them want to tear the city down for very political reasons. And they're, you know, they make no secret about their desire to see the things get worse and worse and worse. So hopefully the voters will come to their senses. Looks like we had a little bit of a comeback the couple of weeks ago, just trying to get people in who say that they'll handle law and justice a little better. Well, I wish you the best, Matt. I'm sorry we keep talking about your business getting hit like this, but I hope you can hang in there.
Well, Dory, I sure appreciate you helping us get the word out. Like I said, it's really a cry for help. I tried to listen to our city council member, Don Strauss, and his town hall, yep. And it was a prearranged, you know, situation where I couldn't even ask the question live. I had to email it, and they saved it to the end of a three-hour meeting, which I couldn't even bear the first 30 minutes, so I just checked out. So, you know, I'm trying to find a productive way to get my voice up there, and if it's Dory Monson, I'll take that.
There you go. All right. Don't sound like you're settling for me. I should be your first choice.
No,
what do you mean you'll take that? What's
yeah,
the matter with you?
I'll take that. I'm thrilled to have you on there. Thank you for having me.
Much better. Matt, it's good talking to you. Hang in there. Take care.
Thanks, Dory.
Okay, Matthew Humphrey, you own Steel Barber in Ballard, and yeah, I'm going to keep talking about these stories because we gotta get the word out. Things have to get better, or we're gonna turn into a ghost town one of these days. Let me know what you think. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. A few days ago, a new poll came out. Joe Biden's approval rating at 38%. It is plummeting. But Joe Biden looks like the most admired man in the world compared to his vice president. Kamala Harris, 28% approval. Worst ever. Worst ever recorded. Worse than Dick Cheney. And the reason nobody can stand Kamala Harris is because she's so phony. Whether it's, you know, acting with child actors pretending like they're kids interested in space or all of the other stuff she does. She's in Paris right now because, as you know, she's in charge of the U.S.-Mexico border. So I guess she's in Paris to make sure that everything's fine on the southern border. I don't know what she's doing there. But she decided to talk to the press with a French accent, you know, when in Rome.
We campaign with the plan. Uppercase T, uppercase P, the plan. We're expected to defend the plan.
The plan. How come everybody on the left freaks out when Harry Shearer does the voice of Apu on Simpsons? But it's okay for Kamala Harris to pull out a French accent. We complained on the plan. It's a bad French accent, too. I don't know what she's doing there.
We campaign with the plan. Uppercase T, uppercase P. The plan. We're expected to defend the plan.
Defend, yes. Yes, we are, Kamala. Thank you for pointing that out. Pepe Le Harris. But she does this a lot. When she was in Virginia.
Tell everybody you know to vote tomorrow. Nothing like saying, you want to meet me tomorrow? What you doing tomorrow?
Is that how Virginians talk? Come meet me tomorrow. We drop the G's off the end of words. That's how Virginians talk, I guess, according to Kamala Harris. Here's another accent in an interview. I don't even know what she's doing here.
Oh, the possibilities are immense. Whatever you want to do, you can do.
What? How does she have 28% approval? What's up with that 28%? Oh, and then when in Georgia, speak like you stereotype Georgians to speak.
As far as I'm concerned, Georgia, Columbus, 2020 ain't over until January 5th.
No, it ain't, Kamala. That's right. Georgia, it ain't over till it's over. Are any of those accents even basically resembling the various dialects? It just raises the question, has there ever been a politician more phony?
I don't feel no ways tired.
Oh, yeah.
I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
That's okay. That's why she didn't get elected. She was so disliked in 2016, she couldn't even beat Trump for the presidency. And then there's Joe Biden. He gave a speech this morning for Veterans Day. And I hate to keep playing this card because he's talking about Satchel Paige, who was a great pitcher in the Negro Leagues. But listen to how it came out when Joe Biden was saying it.
And I just want to tell you, I know you're a little younger than I am, but, you know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time, pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become a great pitcher in the pros, into the Major League Baseball after Jackie Robinson. His name was Satchel Paige.
Yeah. So he called him the great Negro at that time. Now, I'll give Joe Biden a pass on that because he was starting to say the great Negro League pitcher, which is certainly not enough. I mean, that's what the league was called, was and is called. And Major League Baseball to this day still pays tribute to the Negro Leagues. So I'll give Joe Biden a pass on that. Do you think that anybody in the media would have given Donald Trump a pass? Can you imagine that? I'm serious. That would have been a 48-hour news cycle on CNN and MSNBC that Donald Trump called Satchel Paige a Negro. And they would have had on every, you know, race hustler in the country talking about how racist that is. And as I said, I get weary of the, can you imagine, because we all know that the media is completely in the tank for Joe Biden, and they were just vicious attack dogs on Donald Trump. If Trump had said that, meanwhile, just minutes after Joe Biden said it, Mediaite, which is a far left-wing website, no, Joe Biden did not refer to Satchel Paige as a Negro during Veterans Day speech. So immediately they're coming out to defend Joe Biden and what he said. And as I said, I give Biden a pass on it. Because he was starting, I think, to say Negro League pitcher. Here, listen again.
And I just want to tell you, I know you're a little younger than I am, but, you know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time, pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become.
And I don't think that's that bad. But if Trump had said it, seriously, 48 hours, nonstop, round the clock, I'm tired of the double standard in the media, and I do think it's worth pointing out every once in a while. Check the news, and then the Fast 15, next here on the Dory Monson Show.